Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We have Louis DeBrusk momentarily joining us. Think of who were your favorite late 80s and 1990s tough guys. You can text us 780-496-0063. We're going to blast through some of those. Guests and orders now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse, whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town. Every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse, 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Chris, and Jeff Altap that Orders Now sent you. Roost Chris is open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. till close, 4 o'clock in order. Game nights as we go to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. Louis DeBrusk for GCL Diesel, providing service, genuine diesel parts, turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. We will tell you that we will see the Oilers shortly announcing James Stephan being signed out of the Portland Winterhawks as well. It's probably sometime in the next hour, I would suggest. Anyways, let's bring aboard Louis DeBrusk. Hello, Louis. How are you doing?
Doing well today, Bob. How are you?
Good. Rob Ray, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Rob Ray?
Tough. He really was. You know, there's a guy that fought himself to be tougher every year. From junior right into the American Hockey League, right into the NHL, he fought all comers. Relish the role. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, it didn't matter who it was, how big you were, he was going to take you on. And he wasn't the tallest guy in the world. He's thick, though. If you see him, you know he's a real thick guy. We have similar builds. But, I mean, he would hang in there, and he relished the role. He did it very, very well. And, you know, you watch his fight tapes over the years. I gained more respect for him as YouTube came out and I started to watch a lot of his fights. You have to remember, back in the early 90s, it was hard to see fights. We weren't seeing, if you didn't see a clip on the news or you didn't see a highlight reel or something, you wouldn't know really a lot about other guys around the league. That's how I learned about him, was the old Brinkside show. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, he was on it quite a bit. I know in his 1 year in the American Hockey League, he had something like 400 or 500 penalty minutes. I can't remember. But, you know, he was a guy that, in my opinion, you know, punched a lot harder than people gave him credit for. If you look at the highlights, he put a lot of guys down the ice. You know, he took his shots, too, and he had the ability to take a shot, which made him, what made him really tough. But his right hand was something you had to worry about. And some guys overlooked it, and they paid the price.
You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. We're going to do a quick text here. Todd says Marty McSorley. Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer. You can text us at 780-496-0063. She goes, tough guys for her, Marty McSorley and the late, great Dave Semenko. The Rigger says, what about Probert and Larocq? A text out of Northern Alberta. Bob Probert was the toughest SOB on skates. That comes to us from Ed. This text comes in saying, has to be Bob Nystrom, hands down, one of the best, and he could play too.
Yeah, I love Bobby Nystrom.
Couple more for Dave Semenko. Anthony in Trenton says, Wendell Clark was a favorite of mine. You had to survive the first 15 seconds against Wendell Clark, because you were eating him, because he was bringing some heat, wasn't he, Louie?
Maybe the most explosive in that first 15 seconds than almost anybody in the history of the game. And he knew he had to be. You know, for Wendell, I used to do his hockey school in Toronto, and we would skate afterwards. A lot of pros would come out and skate. This is when I was really young, going into junior hockey. And I would always, like, kind of push him and try and get him to wrestle with me and throw down. Now, he had a lot of back issues at that time, but he was coming back. And then one day, he just dropped the gloves and grabbed onto me. And I got to tell you, I might as well have been, you know, a calf. You know how they throw around the calf in rodeo?
Yep.
That was about what I felt like with Wendell Clark. And he was 185 pounds at the time. And I was probably right around 200, 205. And I remember going back home after that camp saying, I got a lot to work on going into my first year junior, because, I mean, he threw me around like a rag doll. But that first 15, 20 seconds, he was as good as anybody. And if he caught you with one of those big bombs, the other thing about Wendell is he just didn't have a quit in him. He, you know, it was like similar to what I say back in the 60s and the 70s, where I, what I thought was the toughest era, to be honest with you. Now, don't get me wrong. I think as the role developed, I think the tough guys learned how to fight better. They trained to fight specifically, and they became the ultimate fighters on the ice. They really did. And they really honed their skills, and they became very dangerous. So they were probably better fighters. But what I mean by the 60s and 70s, and even into the 80s, when those guys fought, they hated each other. It was almost like they were fighting to the death. It was that bad. Like, there was sticks in the face. They didn't care. They were, most of them didn't wear helmets, if any of them. And they were just tough. When they fought, it was for real. It wasn't just for show. And that's what I mean by that. But Wendell had that in him. He was old school all the way through. One of my favorite players of all time.
All right. Vince has texted us and said, Bob, I remember John Ferguson of Montreal as being the tough guy. Well, he was in the late 1960s. Like, he was as tough as they won. This texter says Tony Twist and Joey Kosher, both been through hard. I can tell we have a Montreal Canadiens fan here, because he's putting out John Kordick in Chris Nyland. I played against John Kordick. He was a good defenseman when I played against him. I mean, it was like Todd Ewan, the only man ever to put down Bob Probert. Todd Ewan, of the 66-born guys in Northern Alberta, was one of the best three players at that time in the province. So he was a pretty good player. Another says, for middleweights, what about Stan Jonathan and Wendell Clark? So, Louis, I'll get you to comment on some of those. Yeah, you're digging it. You like where we're going, eh?
Yeah. Well, these people know they're tough guys. And Stan Jonathan was, you think of Ty Domi. Ty Domi used to look up to Stan Jonathan. That was the guy that he wanted to mold himself afterwards. And Ty Domi was one of the best at it. He really was. I mean, you look at his size and who he was fighting against in that era. He had, 14 or 15 battles against Rob Ray? I mean, those guys went at it almost every single time they went up against her. But Stan Jonathan was, from my understanding, a Golden Gloves boxer, threw with both hands. He, could get inside on a bigger guy, and he would just chop him down. It was like chopping down a redwood. Good player, too. Great player for the Bruins for years. John Kordick, I got to play with him down in Cape Breton. So I went down there in my first year. They brought in Kordick, and, he was trying to make his way back into the league. And I've never seen a guy that, was so hungry to go out there and tangle the toughest guy in the opposition. It was unbelievable. He would bring the game sheet over to a couple of us and say, okay, mark down who the tough guys are. He had no idea who these guys were, didn't care. If you happen to be one of the guys that we circled on that sheet, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we sent him out there after you, because that was the first guy to go after. As soon as that guy got on the ice, he would jump over the boards. He'd tap someone, whoever was on the ice, say, go back to the bench because I got a job to do. And he had the jackhammer lefts going. I mean, he was one of those guys. We called him Rambo. When he got that left hand going, it was like, I don't care who you were. You were going to be eating punches. And unfortunately, he passed away not too long after that. But, boy, he blazed a trail in his time in the NHL.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chad from Stoney wants to throw out Lyndon Byers, who I think he did a real number on Glenn Cochran one time at the end of Cochran's career when he was with the Oilers. And JB, I believe you played with this guy, Louie. JB is mentioning Link Gates.
Oh, Yeah, another guy, when I went down for another conditioning, said that was my roommate that time, and the missing link, you know. He had some real tough injuries that really hindered his ability to play the game, but before that, he was, in my opinion, the heir apparent to Bob Probert. He was the next guy in line that was going to rule the league for a long time. He could play. He had a cannon of a slap shot. I mean a bomb. And he just had a mean streak in him that, you know, you just don't see that often. You know, Ben Wilson, from what I understand, one of my favorite guys, too, was another guy that had that mean streak in him. And I remember Dave Manson telling me when he came on to Edmonton, I asked him about Ben Wilson, because those are the guys I cut my teeth on, you know, watching fight tapes. Pete Cleary and Scott Valley, a couple good friends of mine back home that we used to sit around on a Friday night and watch 6 hours of fight tapes. And just, we'd get the old VHS reel. It was all grainy. You could barely see, but we would throw it in there and maybe have a few cocktails and watch fight tapes and just learn from the best of that era. And that was, you know, Eric Nystrom, Jonathan Winsink, Terry O'Reilly, had Stan Jonathan. I said that guy already, but Ben Wilson was one of those guys that I think everybody was a little leery of, even Clark Gillies, the late, great Clark Gillies, who had a couple battles with him in his day. But, yeah, you know, Link Gates was a guy that if he wouldn't have had that injury, I think he would have, you know, we'd be talking about him as one of the greats, and he was tough. He was a guy that was... I think everybody had in their radar and to be ready for it.
This has spawned a conversation. Cactus Jack is Texas on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Louis DeBrusque for GCL Diesel. Bob, this conversation with Louis today is way better than curling talk from yesterday. Nice work, big man. All right. Jason from Sanguda. This guy's before your time, but I remember him. Chair Hill, Alberta's Dave Hoyta. He passed away a few years ago. He wore number eight in the Flyers after Dave Schultz. He knew his job. He was...
And he wasn't a big guy.
No, he wasn't the biggest guy. And we're getting
He was tough.
Yep. We're getting a lot of love here for Dave Brown. He was a beast, says Doug.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and
well,
go ahead.
You and I sat down with Dave in St. Louis just recently. We had the media meal with him up in the press box in St. Louis, one of the nicest guys around. But if you took a look at him when he was sitting there, look at his hands and forearms. You know, he was just one of those guys that was built for throwing jackhammer left hands. He just was. And he knew exactly what he needed to do. He had the switch, we call it. You know, the guys have the switch. Every tough guy has it. You have a switch where you just kind of get into that mode. And once you're in that mode, it's go time. And once he turned that over and got it, he'd be the nicest guy in the world off the ice and the nicest guy, even on the ice, even playing against him. Wasn't ultra dirty. Did some dirty things. Don't get me wrong.
He Come on, Thomas Sandstrom. Thomas Sandstrom, if anybody deserved to be cross-checked, it was Thomas Sandstrom.
That's what I'm saying. He went over the line typically for the right reasons, right? And when I say right reasons, it's because of rats. And I played with him, and Sandstrom was a big guy himself, too. He was like 6'3", great scorer, just part of a trivia question not too long ago. But Dave Brown, that left hand was, I mean, that's legendary, that left hand. Everybody knew it. Actually, Rob Ray had a pretty good fight.
He landed a bomb on Dave Brown.
He landed a right hand right on the button, and I mean, he stung him. He stung Brown, and not too many guys were able to do that in their career, because once he got that hammer going, it was like, forget about it. Well, yeah, these are the guys that I had to follow in their footsteps, by the way.
Yeah. Well, every dog has his day. I mean, you mentioned, you know, George LaRocque tells a story about, and you were on the ice with him in preseason. I think Brownie was with San Jose, and George was so scared as an 18-year-old that he looked backwards between his legs. And, you know, you mentioned Rob Ray landing one right on the bugle on Dave Brown. And, you know, Rob Ray, you know, was a really good fighter. That you know, not a super heavy. Dave Brown, other than Proby, was probably considered the best fighter throughout much of the 1980s.
He was really good at it too, Bob. And not to cut you off, sorry, but he was really good at it because he didn't even have to fight that much. He could just say something. He could settle things down just with a word. Not too many players in the history of the game have been able to do that.
Yep.
And Dave Brown was one of them. Dave Brown was one of them. Dave Brown could lean over the bench. He did it to me a couple times. That deep voice that he has.
What did he say to you? PG-13.
He'd say, Louis, settle. No, he didn't. I don't even have to be PG-13 because it is. He would just say, Louis, settle down. And you'd turn around, you'd look. And you knew it was Dave Brown, and you knew he meant business. It was like, okay, you know what? Just, you know, stay within the rules, play physical. You didn't mind good hits, didn't mind you being physical. You can be a little chippy. But if you went over the line and took advantage of someone, he would step in. He was really, really good at his job. And because he had such a reputation, I think Tony Twist developed that reputation later in his career. He was another guy that at that time was just, you know, he would just say something to a guy. He didn't have to go out there and fight all the time. He could just mention something to you like, hey, settle down, big boy, or else I'm coming. I don't want to have to come over there, but I'm going to if you keep doing this. And you know what? He kept the peace. He really did. And a lot of his teams did not get taken advantage of. And that was the number one role of the enforcer, to be able to do that. And the guys that did it the best were able to do that.
The Oilers have made it official. James Stephan, son of Patrick Stephan, has signed a three-year entry. That's a three-year deal right out of junior. And again, we mentioned the fact, Louis, that the Oilers, a couple years ago, they signed Noah Philp, who took a year away from hockey and retired. We'll see whether or not there's a reevaluation there. But they got him out of the University of Alberta. They signed a goaltender out of Brock, Connor Unger, and the Oilers just signing James Stephan out of the Portland Winterhawks, who's got, he's closing in on 50 goals this year in the Western Hockey League. He's a shooter. That's Patrick Stephan's son, represented by Paul Capizano. That's what you got to do if you're trading picks. You got to sign other guys, don't you?
Absolutely. I think you have to look everywhere to find that talent. I think it's creative. I think it's necessary, and especially when you're a team like Edmonton is starting to become at their peak and where they're up against the cap every year because they have their core, they have their players they want to build around. You have to find those entry-level contracts you feel that in 1 or 2 years might be able to come in and really, really help you. And a couple of young guys burst onto the scene, and the next thing you know, you've got really good players that continue to keep you under the cap. I know it's going to go up in the next couple of years, but that's the mentality you have to have. You have to go out there and try and find late bloomers, guys that maybe got overlooked early at 17, 18 years of age, but in 19, 20, 21-year-olds that all of a sudden are starting to blossom and put the work in, they deserve just as much of a look as somebody that was that good at 16, 17, 18 years old that maybe doesn't develop at the same rate. So a lot of teams have done it. My son's team's done it a lot. Boston, you look at them. They're always looking to pick up a college kid here or there, bring him in. Have they all panned out? No. But at the same time, they're aggressive in trying to find those players, and they've got a few of them in their lineup right now.
All right. Give me a thought on tonight's matchup against the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, you know, I think this is a team that, for me, has a ton of great players and great young players that are emerging into the players they're going to be for a long time. When they play a team like Edmonton, they get excited. Just like Edmonton used to get excited when Connor was a young player, when Leon was a young player, Nuge was a young player, Darnell, these guys, you know, would go up against the best of the best, and they'd be like, okay, we want to play well. We want to see how we match up against that team. That's the Buffalo Sabres right now. They get very excited to play against the Edmonton Oilers. They're a team that feels they probably should have been a little bit better this year. They felt they were going to take another step, but sometimes this league can be cruel. They suffered a lot of injuries this year. They've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, and they're still not that far out of a playoff spot. So there's something to play for there for this team. They, in their hearts, believe that if they continue to win, they continue to play hard, they have a chance to get in there, and they do. So it's never over until you know, the check marks and the X's get onto the sheet of the standings and the final eight are set in stone. That hasn't happened yet. It's a long way away from that. There's some teams in the mix fighting for it, and Buffalo is one of them. So it was a hard-fought game in Buffalo. I thought they were the better team in portions of that game where they came out. They won more puck battles. They had a little more jump. And as a result, Edmonton had to kind of push and try and find a way to win that one, and it just didn't happen. They lost it twice. Once in overtime on Owen Power's goal, they came back and then lost in a shootout in a real kind of weird night that I haven't seen before in the National Hockey League, but it was pretty interesting. So I think Edmonton will be motivated. I think Edmonton understands they have to have a better start, and they have to go out there and play the way they know they can play and make Buffalo match their work ethic and attention to detail. If they do that, they've got a great chance to win this game.
Louis, one final one for you. He might have said, hey, Louis, settle down. But he didn't look at you and say, he didn't look at you and say, hey, Timmy, you got them things to men in honor, yeah. What?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Timmy Hunter, that was a guy that, you know, was giving up a lot of height and weight and a lot of guys that he was fighting, but very technical. And he picked apart a lot of guys, but yeah, him and Brownie had their discussions on and off the ice, and so did him and the late great Dave Semenko, who had some great battles with Tim Hunter over the years in the Battle of Alberta.
Yeah, those Pro-Am Sports photos that Jack Cookson has of Dave Semenko and Tim Hunter. By the way, trivia question. Oh no, it's way too hard. You might get it though. Tim Hunter broke his ankle in a line brawl against the Buffalo Sabres. And was tied up with an Edmonton area product who's Cam Moon in the Western Hockey League. This guy, the first goal Cam Moon gave up in the WHL was scored by this guy. He could shoot the puck, but he was a tough guy, and he broke Tim Hunter's ankle in a line brawl in Buffalo one night. You know who it was? Brad Miller.
Brad Miller. I fought Brad Miller.
How'd you do?
Then I got to play with him. It was an okay fight. I thought it was a draw. It was one of my first fights in the American Hockey League. Right before, it was actually in the playoffs. It was the first round of the playoffs, Binghamton versus Rochester. I came up for my last year of junior in London, and I got to play with him years later in Vegas, one of the nice guys. That's the guy, Brad Miller. Remember the story I told you about stealing the key, coming into the hotel lobby, and then going up into the bedroom and scaring the you-know-what out of somebody when they came into the room?
Yep.
Brad Miller's one of the guys I got.
All right, awesome stuff, Lou Dog.
I thought he was either gonna knock me out or I was gonna scare him. I scared him.
Nicely done. Thanks, Louie. That's Sportsnet color analyst Louie DeBrus for GCL Diesel, providing service, genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. You're invited to New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia. You go to Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. It's a 19-day tour, and it includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, daily tours. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places on the planet. Book by the end of March, and you can save up to $1,300 per person. For full details, visit our friends at newwesttravel.com. When we come back, we'll get to Oilers Now injury report. And a somewhat related, based on the news of today, somewhat related Pro-Am Sports trivia question when we return. We'll make it super easy. We got to make it super easy. We can't make it too hard, okay? Because I think any Oiler fan is probably going to be able to get the next question. So we'll get to that momentarily. This is Oilers Now. It is 4:57 in Edmonton. The Oilers Now injury reports brought to you all season long. James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, Jim Brown, Trent Brown, the gang at James H. Brown. 250-plus years of experience. They got the most experience that gets you the best results. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Of course, Trent Brown, in my opinion, the best football player produced at the University of Alberta last 40 years. Two-time CFL All-Star safety. Terrific special teams player in U Sports, played a little offense. He was like the Deion Sanders of the late 1980s. The Oilers, Vincent Dernay has skated but is out with a finger issue, will not play tonight. Jack Quinn, lower body issue. He's a 50-goal scorer for the 67s in Ottawa. And Matias Samuelson, the former Western Michigan product, out with an upper body injury. As we go into Oilers Now trivia, it is brought to you all season long by Pro-Am Sports. All correct answers in March. Enter to win a framed and autographed Ryan Smith photo. Check out Pro-Am Sports in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail and at proamsports.ca. Here we go. It's way too easy. But we got to do it. So the Edmonton Oilers just signed Patrick Stefan's son, right? They just got him signed. And as many of you would know, he was involved in one of the most wild incidents. They just signed James Stefan, Patrick Stefan's son. And Patrick Stefan was involved in an infamous moment where he missed a wide-open net against the Edmonton Oilers during the 06-07 season as a member of the Dallas Stars. Who scored the game-tying goal of 2 seconds left on the blown missed net opportunity by Patrick Stefan? 780-496-0063. Super easy. Easiest trivia question possible. Easiest of all time. And he is one of my favorite Oilers from that era. A guy that was vastly underrated, including by some guys in the media, for how courageous he was. Off to a global. Text us the correct answer. 780-496-0063. That's Oilers Now trivia. And we'll go to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn and come back with Ron McLean.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.